Good morning.
All right, so let me read you some of these.
So like what Peter was saying, yesterday we went to Pennington County and we did surveys, spiritual surveys at the fair. And it was a lot of fun. At the same time, very saddening, in my opinion, because of the many people that have no idea who Jesus is, who even have a spiritual interest. Here's one person I said, on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being the highest, or 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, rate your spiritual interest. 7. Another one, 1. Another one, 2. Another one, 6. Some people, not very interested. Another question that I asked him, I said, if you were to die today on a scale from 0% to 100%, how sure are you that you'd go to heaven? 50% don't believe in eternity. If there's a heaven, 80%, 60%. And we've done this many times, you know, and it's really amazing the different stories I've had and we've all had with these spiritual surveys. And when I first planned this message today, I had the excited, yes, eternal life in heaven. You know, those of us that have it, and it's going to be great. We have eternal life in heaven. And how great is that going to be? I was fired up. And we should be, for those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then doing these surveys, going to the fair, realizing how many people don't know Jesus, haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior, don't have an eternal perspective or even a spiritual interest of any kind, saddens my heart. And I planned this message around this time because I knew we'd be going to the fair this weekend. A lot of times our church will do that. We'll go to the fair and we'll evangelize and we'll get a group of people to go out and do that. And what a beautiful thing. But that's more to come on that. I'll just continue to go. Today's our message is titled Eternal Perspective. I have kind of a slideshow here. And the question I want us to ask ourselves today is, how do I keep an eternal perspective while living in my earthly body? Well, sometimes we have experiences, and I was 11 years old, and I remember sitting in my room, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was really hot, and I went to my window, and I opened it up, and I just sat by the window, and I was like, that feels so good. I felt refreshing. And then I looked out, and just started beginning to think about God, and how great he was, because I just started believing him because I was baptized at age 9. And I sat there and I thought, and it's like, I just looked at the window. And then as it came, these lights came towards me from the sky. And obviously, I don't believe in UFOs or anything. It wasn't a plane. And it got really close, so it was like 300 yards out into the sky, like out into my baseball field above. And it was these two images of bodies, of like manly bodies, but they were angelic because they were bright. And they're in the sky, and there was just one single cloud with another big cloud above. And they were like flying around the cloud. And I was like, I couldn't think of anything. My heart was just beating really, really fast. I'm 11 years old. I don't know what to think. And I'm just like, oh. So I'm like, I went back in bed, because I was afraid. At first I was afraid, because I'd never seen something like this. Then I went back to the window again, and I looked out, and sure enough, they were still there. I'm like, oh, what's going on? And I was like, okay, I'll try it again. I went back, laid down, and came back, and then they were gone. Now, we all have had maybe an experience like that. Maybe it's been something, a dream. Maybe it's been a vision. But God can use experiences to show us an eternity, an eternal spiritual life. Angels, God just manifested through actions of faith, miracles, things like that. That really changed my life that day, because I realized that God was real, because I'd really been thinking about him. And there was this one time I had prayed with my sister. I was just about to graduate from high school, and she said, you know, we had this friend online, and we were talking about the Lord, and we were talking about faith, and we were talking about belief. And this young man, it was MSN Messenger, we were texting back and forth saying, you know, God is real, God is true. And he just wouldn't have it. He didn't want to believe it. And I ended up just saying, I said to her, I said, sister, you know what? This man, this friend of ours, he can believe all he wants. We know the truth. We know Christ is real. Let's pray. So we prayed some, and then we were almost done. She's like, and I said, because I was reading this verse, and I want to read it to you today. It's actually Mark 11, verse 23. It says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. And I really staked a lot on that verse. My senior year, I'm like, if I ask God for something, he can do it. I believe in this. I have faith enough to believe this truth that he gives us in his word. So I took my cup of milk, and I had it, and I drank it all up, just downed it. And I said, sister, if we believed right now that God could fill this cup back up with milk, he really would. So then I looked, I was like, well, drank it down to the bottom. Nothing left in the cup. Honest to God. I said, nothing left in the cup. And we just sat there and we prayed for 10 minutes. Now, I wasn't testing God. We were just believing in him. I said, God, we believe you can fill this cup. How we believe that you could put milk back in that cup and it can happen. I believe in your word, and it says in Mark that it can happen. We pray that you'd fill the cup back up with milk. In Jesus' name we pray. And then we continue to pray. And then we looked. It was empty. I was like, shoot. That was too bad. It was empty. What was it? So I said, Char, it's okay. God is still good. He is still good. Now, this could be all I have to speak today about God. This is about an internal perspective. Because then, no more than 4 seconds after I said that, I said, we should go to bed. Cup, I accidentally hit the cup with my hand. Milk spills all over my legs. No joke. Okay? Now, normally I don't tell people that kind of stuff because they think a person's crazy. But it happened. And it happened to me. Can it happen to you? If you ask God for it, are you knocking? Are you seeking him? I'm just starting with that. It happened, and my eyes were open to more of God that day than they had ever in my entire life. A whole new thing changed in me that day. And a lot of us have seen those miracles, and a lot of us have gone through things like that. I know we have. That God is real. Experiences can help us keep an eternal perspective. What other ways can we keep an eternal perspective? I want to continue on. One way is to remember that God is always there right next to you. He's always there with you. It even says, Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the good and the evil. So a key to remembering an eternal perspective, and you can write this down, and I've also got a point here, God is omnipotent. God is with us all the time. He listens to and watches everything we do. So the next time we think that we're in this earthly body, we can't make it in this life, it's too tough. Remember, God is there. He's right there like he's your best friend. An eternal perspective, if you want to walk in this earth as an eternal perspective, just have God right there. Just walk with him daily. He's your best friend. You can go everywhere with God. I'm serious. He can go to you to work. He can go to you, you know, when you're going to sleep. He can do everything with you. God is with you all the time. What better way to remember an eternal perspective than to have God right there? Let me just go through our main verses, and it's up on the board, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I have a picture of a hand, and that's the bulletin today. Picture. This man is reaching towards heaven, is setting his affections on what's above. So often we can have this misconception and think about the place where we're at, the pain that we're in, the money that we don't have, the job that we don't have, the good looks that we don't have, everything, all these different things that we think about ourselves, and it puts us here on earth, and it puts us in a negative state because we'll never have everything that we want. We'll never have everything that we think that we need. And truly, all that we truly need is God, setting our affections on him. And he takes care of the rest. He takes care of the rest. I was just talking to Phil. I was telling, we can invest, we ride together to work. We can invest so much of our time into things in the world. Tons of it.
And I have a quote by Tom Perry,
and it says this:
is the order of things right in our own lives? Are we investing first and foremost in the things that are eternal in nature? Do we have an eternal perspective? Or have we fallen into the trap of investing in the things of this world first and then forgetting the Lord?
It can be so easy to fall into that trap of making a life for ourselves here on earth.
Power, money, possessions, like I said, the Bible says that none of it is going to come to heaven with us.
I mean, I've had people plant or put their hammers in their grave, and those are just kind of little funny things, you know. But some people are really legit.
Plant my money with me. I want to take the 10 grand with.
Or all this stuff because they want to bring that to heaven. They think they can take it to heaven. Like this new movie I watched Gods of Egypt, and the way they get to heaven is what they can present to the gods. This is what I have. Can I make it in? That's literally what some people actually believe that. What they have and what they're worth, what they've done, the good works that they've done, that will get them to heaven. The Bible says good works will not get you to heaven. By faith in Jesus Christ and putting your faith and believing Him, that will get you to heaven.
To remain with an eternal perspective, we need to know what our treasure is. And I want to share Matthew 6:19-21.
Eric has shared this verse a lot, and I've grown to love it. These verses. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So, it really comes down to every single day that we live our lives, every moment, decisions that we make. Everything comes down to an eternal perspective. It comes down to where our treasure is. What are we thinking? So the question I ask you, and I have it, what do I treasure and catch myself thinking about and pursuing most in my life? Oftentimes, I remember when I first bought my house, and I still do this, but I've got a different perspective about it now. When I first bought my house, my thought was, pay it off, get out of debt, use the money for the church. So I spent so much time trying to put in overtime, do extra work, and do more stuff, and not call in sick or take a day off even. Just bank it, bank the vacation, make money. Nothing is wrong with that. We have to be careful about the addiction of that. Can you understand what I'm saying? The addiction of wanting work and wanting to feel fulfilled because, yes, I'm doing it. I'm making my money. I'm doing this. I'm paying this off. That's my life. Or is it God and the eternal perspective? Are you saying, no, I can't go on Saturday to go to the fair and evangelize. I'm busy shingling because I'm going to shingle every week because I want to make an extra 12 grand this year. Nothing wrong with that. Again, I'm saying, where is your heart? And what are you allowing that to do? Well, maybe I could shingle for half the day. I'll come out for 2 hours. Or whatever the case might be. It's like where the heart is. It could be working yourself up the ladder to be more powerful and recognized in your work industry. It could be taking multiple jobs, like I said, trying to get out of debt. It could be many things, little things that could even take our minds off and where our treasure is and what we hope for each and every day. It could be staying up late watching movies. It could be video games. It could be social media, excessive YouTube watching, Facebooking, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on and on. We can spend so much of our time and store up so much treasures in the things that we have, in the things that we do, that we don't have an eternal perspective because it's all in the world. And when we went to the fair, like, it's so obvious, you know? And like talking to people and asking them simple questions like, is there any kind of spiritual interest in your life, any sort of belief? No? You just get this blank stare. People just don't know. And that saddens me. Like, people just don't know that there's a God. They don't know that He loves them. They don't know Jesus died on the cross. They don't know because they haven't been raised. They haven't been taught. They just don't know. And it's amazing to me when I continue to see it.
So I've got a couple things. I got number one, I have this, I think the next one is, do the things I'm doing hold eternal value? That's what we really have to ask ourselves. Because we can get ourselves wrapped into so many different things. And fun things or other things. Are we able to use those things that we do and have an eternal perspective through it? That's the biggest question. Like I used to play basketball here in town, and it was fun. I loved basketball. I can only do it every other Wednesday because, you know, I was on a rotating shift, nights to days, but I said, you know what I want to do? I want to make relationships at this basketball. So when I went there, I would try and learn who the guys were and what their name was and what they do. And, you know, they all knew each other because they're all from this area. I'm from Lake of the Woods. So I come from this area. I'm kind of new. I'm just shooting hoops. I'm like, yeah, so what do you do for a living? Oh, I work at PKM. And I'm like, oh, cool, yeah. And so you're building a relationship with them so you know them, so you can have a friendship, so you can have a relationship to be able to talk about God and to have a relationship and to talk about things like that. That was my perspective. You can do that. You can have an internal perspective in all the things that you do. You just have to bring Christ in it. See? So it's not like all the things that we do are wrong, but you have to bring Christ into it, and then it's great. And that's what God wants us to do. So I got 3 points for you guys, and you can write these down if you want. It will help you to keep an internal perspective fervent. And the word fervent means intensity of spirit, enthusiasm. Now, number one is, find a time and place every day to meet with God intimately. And this is really cool. I love this. I love God. And I love meeting with Him intimately. And what I did, Phil and I were, and I really felt Him strongly. This we went to a pastor's conference, Eric, Peter, Phil, and I. We went over to Des Moines, Iowa. And we went to the pastor's conference, and we would walk to and from the center. But before in the morning, we'd wake up at, I can't remember, Phil, what was it, 6:30 or something like that? We'd get up, and we'd exercise. No, we'd pray. We'd pray first. We'd go out and walk. We'd pray and walk, and then we'd come back, and then we'd exercise. And then we'd get shower and go to the meeting. What great ways to start the morning is by just finding intimate time to talk to God. You know, my wife and I, let's just pretend, and I've talked to this, I think I've covered this before. I wake up in the morning, I'm like, hey, honey. She says, hey, back. I go about my whole morning, I have my breakfast, and I don't say anything to her. Just like, hey, yeah, or maybe I'll tell her what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll say, I'm going to go outside, I'm going to mow the lawn, and then I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go do that. And she's like, okay. Then I just leave, and I don't have any sort of communication or conversation or connection with her. What kind of relationship is that going to be? How effective is this going to be? Not very effective. Not very effective. A relationship goes two ways. It's like, oh, you're going to go meet up with your friends at 10. I should probably be done mowing by 10 because that's what she's going to do. She's got to be gone. Do we ever think about God's intentions for our lives? Do we ever think about the connections that He wants us to do something? So often we say, Lord God, I thank You so much for this day. Please lead me where I've got to go. Help me do what I've got to do. But then do we listen back? Oh, that's what I should do. Because He's telling us what to do. Now we always tell God what we're doing. We're always thinking that we know best. Find a time intimately to connect with God and listen to Him. Be with Him. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13. Then you will call upon Me and come and pray to Me, and I will hear you. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your hearts. God just wants our hearts. He wants our heart. He wants our lives. He wants us because we're loved. He loves us. We have free access to Him, you know. It's like I ran almost out of data last month, and I was like, oh man, I must have YouTubed too much, or must have went online too much to look up verses that are, and I'm like, oh, this is terrible. I need to get connected to the internet. Where's my free Wi-Fi? Who's been there? Do you need Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi sometimes? They're like, oh, they need to try and figure out where do they have, okay, the library or McDonald's or wherever they've got it. I don't use it too often because I don't go over that much. But it's tough to get connections to Wi-Fi when you need it, just when you need it, because it runs out. And you're like, I need more. I need $15 more to get another gig. God is completely free all the time whenever you need Him. You don't pay for Him.
You don't go to the store and purchase a Get to God card. You literally say, God, I want to talk. And he's there. It's so cool. Okay? All right, number two. Find time to learn about Jesus and deepen your faith in him by reading your Bible. Okay, Hebrews 4, verse 12, one of my favorite verses. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. How cool is that? You know? I know God's alive, and I know, like, he can make cool things happen. He can make a cup of milk spill over. Psh, oh, now I got to wash my pants. How cool is it that his word is alive? It's alive. Like, he speaks to us through it, and it's literally, you open it up, and it can speak to you. I remember back in high school, I'd open up the Word, and I'd flip through the pages. And there was sometimes I'd just have it closed, and I needed God. And I'd open up the Word, I'd say, Lord, speak to me today. And I would just open it, and I would just start reading. And it was exactly what I needed. I know a few of you have done that as well. It's just exactly what you needed for the day. You didn't have any structured study plan. You didn't have a read a Bible in a year plan, which I highly recommend. But I just opened it up and he speaks to us. God will speak to us because it's alive. No matter where it's at, whether it's at Timothy, Corinthians, Galatians, wherever you're reading, he's going to speak to you because he loves you. And he wants you to read and he wants you to be there. Okay? It's so cool. If you don't have access to a Bible, I'll get you one. I'll find a way. We have a way to get you a Bible if you don't have one here or that can read every day. We'll buy you a Bible. You just talk to me and I'll get you hooked up, all right? So we'll just skip right to number three. I'll go through these a little quick. Number three, be doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And this is probably the most, this is where God has really spoke to me the most this year, especially at the men's conference, is that in our lives, so much, so often, we're living our lives kind of in a facade, kind of not hypocritical, but sometimes we just kind of live in it day to day, and we're just kind of thinking, okay, I need to be this certain way for a person so they can see me as a Christian or see me as this way so I'm good enough. And you just kind of put the image on, but you don't ever do anything like actual physical about it. You're just putting the face on of a Christian or a face on of, oh yeah, I read my Bible, or I do that. But then do we do what it says? Do we ever actively do what God wants us to do? I can't really express enough with number three here because it's really where the rubber meets the road. And a disciple of Jesus, you need to be walking with God. And to do that, you need to do what the Word says. Otherwise, you're just deceiving yourself and you're just kind of living flatline. You know? I mean, if I don't do what the Word says, this is what I see my life as. It's like, when you're doing what the Word says, and when you do really what the Word says, heartbeat just revives people. It's beautiful. Doing what the Word says. You could write that in the bulletin, a little line, squiggly marks. Doing what the Word says revives your heart. It gives you a passion. It gives you fuel. Because when you're doing what it says, you're living and breathing it. So now you want more. When I'm on YouTube or Facebook, I want more of it. It's addictive. When you're doing what the Word says, it's addictive. It really is. I'm just being honest. It really is. God wants action. God wants doers. There's no better way to live with an eternal perspective than to live your life with Christ as a doer of his will. God's call is for us to love, so we love. God's call is for us to sacrifice, so we sacrifice. God's call is for us to reach those for Christ, so we reach those for Christ. I got a picture of a rope. I'm going to sort of end with this in a couple of verses. There's your life, and we've done this before, and the little piece of red there is our life here on earth. We don't have much of it. We've gone over this before. That's potentially all that we have right there. In our physical little body, it's going to die, decrepit, it's going to go on the ground, done. The rest of that is eternity, and that's not even touches what eternity is. That's just a small rope. I can't even tell you how long eternity is because it's just unfathomable. It's forever.
question I have for you, with that little tiny speck there, we have an opportunity to speak to people about Christ, and they have the opportunity to give themselves to Christ. And what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? How are we going to have that eternal perspective? We have to practice the things in our walk with the Lord right now. Keeping that eternal perspective, practicing it, living it, doing it, so others can hear it and see it and breathe it and feel it and live it. So they can have the same perspectives, the same life in Christ. Beautiful, beautiful. So concluding point number 3, and my challenge for us, and we can, all of us can do this in our own way, but really use that analogy, a piece of a rope, allow that to remind you that we don't have much time. You know, we can invest in so much in our lives here on earth, thinking, oh, I got to make myself amazing. I got to, you know, I got to work out and pump up and look great and make a bunch of money so everyone thinks I'm cool. And look, all this stuff that we think we need to have on the earth, it really means nothing. It really doesn't mean anything. Because before you know it, I'm 30. I want to be in the ground before you know it. I really am. What kind of difference am I making in the world? What kind of eternal perspective am I making in the world? Because that's where it really matters. It really does. It's for eternity. We're going to spend all that time up there. Right now, it doesn't mean anything. The time, what really matters is people getting Jesus. It really does. Like Peter said last week, just last week, I wrote it down, we are only passing through. We are staying in a hotel here on earth. And Peter's right. This is just a little passing through a hotel. Boom, then we're going home. We normally spend a lot of our time at home, not in a hotel. This is just a little speed bump, taking a quick break, going to the hotel, then we're going back on the road, we're going back home. We'll be there for eternity. So let's talk to somebody this week. Let's go to the fair. If you can't, talk to someone at work. Talk to someone during basketball, at a men's or women's basketball night or a volleyball thing. Let's do something. Invite someone to the church. Come with us. The last verse I'm going to share with you today is 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 6. This is good and pleases God and our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Christ gave himself for us. He gave for all people. Sometimes we can think, oh man, I don't want him to have Christ. He's just wretched. And I don't think he deserves it, because he's done so many evil things. I'm not going to talk to him about Christ, and I'm kind of scared to talk to him about Christ. Maybe that might be a good fear. Some people can be scary. We've got some scary people living in the world. Some evil people make some bad decisions that live in the world, but they deserve Jesus just as much as anybody else. Everybody deserves Jesus. He wants all people to be called to him. So my challenge for you today is we can live with that perspective, the eternal perspective, so we can live our lives with that continual eternal perspective. When we see somebody ordering your Taco John, hey, yeah, I'd like to order my potato olays and a couple tacos. And hey, did you know Jesus loves you? It's like, how cool would that be if you just did that all the time, just spoke Jesus all the time? It's cool. All right, let's just pray, and the music team will come up and finish. Lord, I thank you so much for today. I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that we would be doers of your word, not just to hear the word only, but to be active in listening to what it says and to apply it to our lives, Lord. Every single day, God, you meet with us. You are here for us. Lord, may we be there for you. Lord, as the world is dying and in need of you, Lord, all the chaos around us in the world, with racism and all the other things that are going on, Lord, you know what's going on. Lord, may we have your eyes and your perspective. You love everybody, Lord. You want everyone to come to you. Lord, may we have that same perspective. The world needs you. The world needs it bad. So much is going on in the world today, Lord. May your will be done, but may we be your vessel. May we be what you need to help the world see who you are, God. Thank you so much for your son, for dying on the cross for our sins today, that we could live and know that we can have eternal life. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you. I believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Today, if that's someone here today, they know they put their faith in you. They know they have eternal life. They know they can live a life in eternity with you. Lord, may that just strive in their hearts and beat in their hearts so ever fervently to want to reach out to the person next to them so they can have the same joy, the same eternity in heaven as they do, God. We pray these things in your precious name, Jesus.